Okay, good morning. This is our studies on Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 15, and I'm not sure what session we're in. I'm not sure what the number is, but
20-something,
yeah. We're winding down. But let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the body of believers that you have here at this church. And Lord, we ask that you would illuminate your word to us this morning. We ask that that you would lead us by your Spirit, and that we would understand what the Spirit is saying to us in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. So direct our thoughts and direct our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, there's a lot here. And, I was telling Mark here a minute ago that, you know, I'm kind of living through this right now. And, so I have a lot of thoughts and, I hope it comes out clearly, but we'll trust the Lord to direct our steps. But, if someone could read, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 15, get started.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Thank you. So, you know, at the beginning of your outline, I just wrote out that, you know, in Ephesians, God's people are presented as a number of different things, as we've been studying. You know, one, it's a legislative assembly, really. It's a family. It's as it depicted as a temple, and it's depicted as the bride of Christ. But here at the end of Ephesians, the final picture of God's people is as an army, and we are in a battle, whether we realize it or not. We are, and that war extends beyond the earth, beyond the heavens. The whole universe is witnessing this battle. And so we're going to be looking at, you know, what kind of war this is. What's our role in this war? And what has God provided to us that we might be able to overcome in the battles that we face? And first of all, in Ephesians chapter 10, or chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." What does that mean? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? I mean, how do you understand that practically?
To be weak, to take everything away from what we think we can accomplish.
Okay.
And allow him to do what he does.
I think it's a real trust.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, yeah. I mean, the emphasis there is in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not our muscle, it's his spirit, and it's his will and his plan. And so we're trusting in all of that, that it's good and it's right and it's righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So in him, we trust in him. And in doing so, we're strong. He is the tower. We run into him and we're safe.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of being scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because I think we're going to get scared. But when we're scared, we have to be reminded that everything you just said, we have to be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't just wallow in the being scared.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fight it.
Right. With what?
In the power of the Spirit.
Okay. Resist
the devil.
Right. First Peter 5:8, mm-hmm. I think.
I'm not sure.
I think. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant for your adversary.
Yeah. Like Paul's around, right? What's that? He's prowling around.
Yes, seeking whom around. He may devour.
Yes.
So a lot of Christians maybe don't even realize they're in a battle, mm-hmm. and they're just responding to circumstances, and they wonder sometimes why we're getting pounded left and right. And the Lord sometimes allows that so that we get to a situation where, like, oh, I have a role to play here, don't I? It says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do we understand that as far as power? Of His might.
I think power represents the ability to accomplish the task that, or the goal or the plan. I mean, power is what is the energy right. that actually does it. You can think a lot about things, but until you actually apply some energy to it, it doesn't happen. You know, it's just all in your head. So it's God. It's not just thinking about all these things. He's accomplishing right. it in His power, yeah. in His might. His ability to accomplish what He will accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the word I thought of before I read on a little bit here was the word that there is authority.
Yeah. It surprised me because, you know, the studies I've done in the past, when you hear power, I always think of there's two Greek terms, you know, exousia and dunamis, which is dynamite power, and exousia is more. And I was surprised, I didn't even know the word kratos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that it primarily refers to God's kingdom authority, His dominion, His majesty. And you're right; it's understanding that where we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, and that we are representatives of His, and as such, He has given us authority over things. You know, to extent, whether it be your family. You know, you have authority as a father or as a mother over your children, and so you're responsible for them. You know, if somebody's a pastor of a church, he has responsibility over his flock. You know, mm-hmm. and he has authority to pray for them and intercede for them. You know, according to the word. So, what were you thinking, Bill?
And administer discipline and everything.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, I don't know whether it's just where I'm at or it's because I'm a woman. But the most powerful thing to me is that the Lord can change my mind. Mm-hmm. I can be like, sure of this. And as I just keep submitting to the Lord, but thinking He's going to go along with me, it's like from one minute to the next, I can go in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that's His power in me. And I'm aware that, like, all of us have our own ideas and opinions and thoughts and mindsets and families and influences and backgrounds. And yet, God can bring us into unity as we surrender to Him. And to me, that's just a tremendous power. To take a selfish people and make them an army that's
exactly.
fighting His battles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That know that it's not them, it's Him in them. It's just, I don't know, it blows me away.
Mm. I thought of Gideon this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, mighty man of valor and anxiety. You know. But God spoke to him, gave him direction, and he went out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a vigilance, you know, that we just talked about mm-hmm. in him and in those people the 300 that were left mm-hmm. to fight, you know.
And he was scared,
mm-hmm.
but he may have felt like he was staying in the scared place, but he was obeying.
Right.
And so that's the point, is right. you're going to feel scared because you're human, but you can't not obey because you're scared.
Right.
Because that's saying, well, then I trust in my own reasoning.
Right. So it's not his own strength. At the same time, it is in God's authority because God sent him out.
Right.
And said, I want you to do this and I will go before you and I will be with you. I mean, this, the Bible is so full of assurances that he will be with us, mm-hmm. you know, in troubles. So,
yeah.
I will call upon you in the day of trouble. Mm-hmm. And I will deliver, or you will call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You know, so we have to stand on those things. That's part of the battle. You know? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And some other people may have other descriptors there. But it says, put on the whole armor of God. Prepare yourself. Take a stand. And how does Paul describe, who is our adversary?
Devil.
Satan. And how does he describe him?
Dirty, rotten scoundrel.
Well, I know how you describe him.
He's a schemer.
He could just say a raging lion.
Raging lion.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, mine says wiles, wily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Schemer, you said.
And there's the scripture that comes to mind is, do not be tricked into thinking that you can't fall. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very tricky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we may say, oh, well, this is the same old, same old. But you have to be on your guard because he can trick you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's a deceiver.
He's a real deceiver, and we can be easily deceived.
Yeah. You know? And he's an accuser.
And he's an accuser.
Mm-hmm. He's an accuser. So if he's going to deceive you, he's going to accuse you that you're no good or you're not his, not the Lord's representative. You don't have any authority. Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are?
Exactly. Child of the king.
Yeah, and that's how you have to respond.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. Okay, so we'll get back to more of the full armor because he repeats himself again in 13, but in Ephesians 12, I want to look at that a little bit. 6:12, I keep saying the verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay. I wanted to read another version, too. I don't usually look at the Living Bible, but it gave me another picture. The Living Bible says, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world.
Hmm.
And it...
Well put.
Yeah, it gave me a different picture, you know, because in the King James, I kind of, there are terms that you don't normally use in the course of everyday life, you know, principalities, powers, it didn't give me a picture. But this gave me a different picture, you know, we're wrestling against persons without bodies, spiritual hosts of wickedness. When I heard that, I'm like, well, how do you wrestle against that? You know, if you think of wrestling, you think, you know, combat, you're hand to hand, you're, mm-hmm. you know, you're exerting yourself. So it gave me a whole different picture. First of all, we are in a wrestling match. It gave us that picture. Mm-hmm. I heard someone say, he said, a lot of Christians get the punctuation wrong. It says, instead of saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood, they say we wrestle not, period. And they stop right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like we said before, you know, some people don't even realize you're in a battle, that there's a war going on, and you're wondering why are these things happening.
That's the first thing when somebody becomes a Christian, is to let them know, okay,
yeah,
it's not life as usual anymore.
Right.
You're in a battle.
Yeah.
I've appreciated in my life some artistic endeavors. Frank Peretti wrote This Present Darkness. Anybody read that?
Mm-hmm. I've read it. I've heard of it. I have not read it.
I have to tell you, I read it when I first became a Christian, and it did me a world of good, because he really explains the principalities and powers and how they've invaded our schools. And this was like 30 years ago. So I just reread it a year ago to see if it still held any. And I said, he's really a prophet, because he's described exactly what's happened in our schools and our government everywhere. And the beautiful thing about it is the Christians are just a humble group of people. But every time they get together to pray, you see these things happen in the spiritual places. Mm. And so it really, all the power, is from the Lord. And without prayer, Satan and his cohorts all gain ground. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the saints come together to pray, they all just fall apart. Mm. And then another one was Diana brought a video where it showed if we had eyes to be able to see what's happening in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a dramatization. And it was, again, I mean, we don't really realize, we can feel it sometimes, like you'll feel an oppressive darkness come upon you.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like showing it.
Right.
So you had to take into consideration it was a artistic endeavor. But well done.
Yeah, I remember. The Lord's always, from time to time, just kind of giving me a picture of, I wasn't prepared to share this, but since you said that, just certain situations where you can almost see what's going on.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. When Stephen was a little baby, the first child's always an experiment. So we didn't have him in the crib. We had him on the floor on a
Moses?
I don't know. But anyway, he was on the floor in the corner. We didn't have a crib yet. And so all of a sudden he was screaming in there. And we went into the room. And he was always a pretty good sleeper, you know. But he was in this fetal position just screaming. And you could not calm him down. I brought him out. As soon as I picked him up, he kept crying. As soon as I brought him out of the room, down to the other end of the hall, he just stopped. He stopped crying. Wow. And as soon as I started to bring him back in, he started going crazy again, like abnormally.
Wow.
And so I went back. I put him out back in the living room. And then I went in that room, and I just started praying against things in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished that. I walked out and I picked him up and I brought him back in the room, and he went right to sleep.
Mm.
And it was such a vivid picture to me. It was like the Lord just showing me, hey, you know what? You have authority over this, but there are attacks that are going to come to your family, and you have to do something about it. So the same thing with the book you read. You know, it just gives you a picture of, you know what? This is not, you know, hocus pocus, fun and games. It's real.
It's just what
it's real. Yeah. So this, you know, this verse gives us really a pretty vivid picture that we're in a wrestling match, that we're not fighting against persons with bodies, but it is a highly organized kingdom. You know, it's talking about different levels of authority and so forth, and you never really think about that Satan has a kingdom.
Well, he does.
That's structured and organized. And, you know, I thought of Matthew chapter 12. You know, for time's sake, you know, you probably know the story. It's about, someone brought, you can look it up if you like, Matthew 12, 22 to 28. But it's the story about where they brought to Jesus a demon-possessed, blind, mute. And Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees, you know, pointed the finger at Jesus and said, well, he's he's casting out demons by the authority of Satan himself, you know. And Jesus kind of clarifies that, or corrects them, and says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city of or house divided against itself will not stand. If I cast Satan out, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How will the kingdom stand? So basically, you look at that verse and you say, well, Satan, one, has a kingdom. And two, it's not divided. Jesus is saying, it's not divided. It's a kingdom, and it's unified, it's organized. And it's, the kingdom's still there. It hasn't been overthrown at this point yet, you know. Jesus has accomplished everything on the cross.
It's thriving.
But, right. But it's not totally cast down yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's thriving. That's a scary thing to think.
I know.
But it is. It's what else is going on?
It is.
But the good news is that, you know, verse 28 says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the implication is that, well, actually, it is basically, it's a demonstration that God's kingdom is superior to Satan's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we have that assurance. And so when we go forth in the power of his might, in his authority, in his power, and he's got a task for us like Gideon, we can have assurance that he is going to go before us and his power will be enough to overcome anything that Satan throws at you. So that's the good news. But we are in a battle. I had another verse too, Colossians 1:13. Joe, you want to read that one?
Sure.
This is where I'm, you know, I had so much stuff and I'm like, I hope I'm not going off on tangents, but reel me in if I do. Let's see, 1:13. Oh, you might want to read 12 through 14. The 13 is the one I'm
right there. I have to remember the Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay, 1:12, you say?
Yep, 1:12 through 14.
Okay, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Good. So, there are two kingdoms.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's helpful to remember we were members of Satan's kingdom.
Absolutely.
We were there. There are only two kinds of people in the world. There are people who have come into the kingdom of God and those who have not. And until we came into the kingdom of God, we were part of Satan's kingdom, whether we were knew it or not.
That was my question. Did you know it?
No, because I did not. I was so self-reliant and independent, I did not think anyone had power over me.
I don't think you can until the moment of salvation.
Yeah, right? I don't either.
When the light comes in.
No, I think no one voluntarily says, I'm an evil person who's a member of Satan's kingdom.
Well, there are people who do.
Yeah. There are people who worship him and think that's the right thing to do and recognize there's power in that, and they want that power. Yeah. They want the power of darkness over other people. Mm-hmm. So they actively pursue it. Great majority of people are oblivious to all of this.
Right, that's it.
They're blinded, but I think that just helps us in our attitude towards them. I think in some ways we're recognizing when we're facing people who are there that what's active in them is Satan and his demons. They are still members. They're part of that dominion of darkness, even though they don't know it. So our first thing is to pray for them.
Yes.
And recognize the source of what's happening inside them and pouring out of them. The evil that's pouring out of them is the source of Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you recognize that you were just totally blind. You had no clue that you were part of a kingdom.
Even though you know good and bad.
Yeah,
and you know when you do bad.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
but you don't have any place to go with it. That's I'm sorry.
No, that's perfect. Thank you. So there are two kingdoms, light and darkness. And praise God, he is. Transferred us, or delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into his light. So there are two kingdoms, and they're engaged in a battle, in a war. And that is coming to a climax. Yep. And we're seeing the birth pangs of what's coming up, what's coming ahead. So, okay. I wanted, before we jump back to Ephesians, I want to look at one other verse because it kind of prepares us for what's said in verses 13 through 18, I guess. And that's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Let's see. Hans, you want to read that? You got that?
Sure.
Second Corinthians 10, verses 3-5.
Okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. So, bringing that up to preface what we're, where we're going, and that is that, you know, this verse says, you know, we live in the flesh, but the war we find ourselves in is not fleshly. Mm-hmm. So the weapons that we need to fight in the battle have to correspond with with the fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was a fleshly war, we would be using bullets and guns and tanks and all those kind of things. But our war is a spiritual one. Mm-hmm. So the weapons we have to use have to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to be looking at. Also, you know, it's very important. You know, I put on here, what is the battleground on which this war is fought? We have to understand where the battle takes place. So where does it take place? Where is that? What is this verse describing?
I think it's heavenly places.
Okay.
It's in the heavens, the cosmic.
Well, there's certainly
in the spiritual world.
Yeah. Internally, too.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
It's in our mind, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Taking every thought captive to Christ is our responsibility.
Yeah. Right.
And we can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's the only way we can do it, but it is. It's in our mind.
Right. Yeah. It's both. It's there. You know, there. Mm-hmm. The enemies are in the war in the heavenlies. It says, mm-hmm. But our battle that he's describing here is in the battle of the mind, the realm of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And various translations have different words that associate with this in this passage. You know, one's translated, you know, strongholds, arguments. Other versions had imaginations, as you said. Reasonings, speculations or thoughts, all those things. And so, you know, it's giving us a picture of Satan waging an all-out war, you know, to capture the minds of people.
I'm sorry, Bill. I was just going to share the NIV says, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You know, so again, Satan is trying to blind everyone and keep them ignorant.
Yeah, right. Knowledge is another. That's right. So he's building strongholds. He's building fortresses in people's minds. And God has called us, who have come into the light, as his people, to break down those strongholds. and free their minds to receive the truth of the gospel. I wrote down here, 2 Corinthians 2:4. I think John actually brought this up. He said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
So any stronghold, you know, a stronghold is something that blinds. It blinds men's minds. And you can't argue with those type of people, you know. They're blinded. You can't argue with them. The only way is to deliver them is to use spiritual weapons that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, pray for them. You know, a word in season, you know, the Lord, Holy Spirit illuminating a word to them as you, or certain circumstances that come in where they're vulnerable to, you know, to receive, mm-hmm. you know, and break down those strongholds. So, I mean, I think everybody knows people that you've just talked to you blue in the face, you know, going in one ear out the other.
But leaving a residue, hopefully.
Yes, leaving a seed so when that time comes. Right.
I remember this preacher or evangelist said when we got to Spain, he had all the missionaries in Spain come, and he said, I know you all think you've come here to share the gospel, and he said, but because people are dying to know about Jesus. And he said, that's a lie. He said, they're not dying to know about Jesus. He said, you got to get that really straight. He said, people are not dying to know about Jesus. You have to pray. You have to pray, and then you have to be led by the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to spend your whole time over here going to people who are totally blind, who the Holy Spirit hasn't prepared for you, and Satan wins. I remember thinking, wow, that's a new, a new thing. Mm-hmm. Because that is the way most of us go out.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to only go to the people that he, you know, he's leading you to.
Yeah.
Not to say those people, but some people aren't prepared.
Yeah.
Pearls before swine. I mean, that's...
That is another one.
Unless we're being led by the Spirit, we'll spend a lot of time with pigs who aren't interested. You know, that's the bottom line. I struggle with that verse until I recognize it was Jesus telling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, time is precious, and I will give you the direction as to who's ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also is that, you know, if Satan knows you have the power of God in you, he's gonna really try to distract you with all these other things. And so you've got to be aware he's going to distract you.
Yeah.
You know.
We fall in the same traps, don't we?
I know. We fall in the same traps.
Okay, good. All right, let's see. Let me get back to Ephesians here. Chapter 6. Okay, so obviously we're in a war. There's a kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual war waged in the minds of us, of people, and that Satan has built up these strongholds, you know. And we didn't talk about what those were, but, you know, I thought of prejudices, preconceptions, things that people have established. You know, the devil just uses it as a stronghold. It's like, you got to break that of, you know, wrong thinking. That's the old man versus the new man, right? Renew your mind. So it's all that kind of stuff. So God has given us spiritual weapons to fight that. And we're going to talk, there's offensive weapons and defensive weapons, you know. And so as we get into verse 13, where now it says again, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So verse 13, he's almost repeating what he said in verse 11. He didn't waste too much time to say it again, but to take up the whole armor of God, which obviously denotes a lot of importance. To do that. Now, I had a question. What do you think is the evil day that Paul's referring to? Because when I first think about it, I immediately thought one thing, and then I started thinking about it again.
I literally think it's every day until every Christ day. Returns.
Yeah. So the day is evil.
The day, yeah. The days are evil. Mm-hmm. Until Satan is the prince of this world and will be until Christ returns. So we are facing this, living in this war every day. Until we go home or he comes here to get us. Until his second coming.
Yeah, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. That happens every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just once in a while. Right. We every day have to stand our ground. So it's an everyday struggle against evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're not on the Lord's side, you know, and you haven't made that, I mean, you're not a threat to Satan. So he's not giving you the attack until...
Whose ground are you standing on?
Right.
You know, you're either stand on God's kingdom and his precepts and principles, or you're going to, you know, maybe 1 foot on each side, that's kind of sketchy, and, you know, there's different stands that you can take, and it's like, I mean, to me, to be putting on the full armor of God, we got to be standing on God's kingdom ground. That's the only way that we're going to fight against that stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, armor is, well, it's armor. It's defense.
It's
protection against
the
weapons of the day, whether it's, whether it's bows and arrows or a bulletproof vest today.
And then, in the context of what we're learning about this being written to the church, it's like, you know, if Satan can single one person off, you know, it's just like the one sheep that goes astray. It's easier for the wolf to attack and kill that one person. Mm-hmm. But if the whole body moves as a whole in unity, like you were talking about before, it's much easier for him to pluck one away and pull one away when you have the safety of the whole church. So, you know, to me, that armor is all these things that God provides for us for protection, because that's what armor is protection.
That's good. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You know, first I thought, well, I wonder if it's the tribulation or that kind of thing. And then I said, no, it's a day, or it's a period of time. I thought of it, it's every day, but it seems like I go once in a while, you go through a season where you just turn in your head and you're just, what is going on? You know, right?
You're ambushed.
You know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. Everything's going wrong. You know. You're spilling your coffee, you're getting hit in the head with something, you walk before you walk out the door. What is going on?
I know three people, well, Nancy's one of them, that have twisted their ankles, and two of them have broken their ankles. Nancy's, and I'm like going, at, like in the, a matter of 2 weeks. And it's like.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, not that, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying that's so. That's one little thing.
No. I think there's certain times and seasons where your faith is tested more than other times. You know, there's lulls, and then there's times where all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're like, and your faith is tested.
Yeah. And you can't walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's
but
a
you're
test.
You're going to stand.
Right. You're going to stand. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're right.
Everyday things just test your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
you got it cut in front of you, and you wanted to give him the victory sign, and you know, and you don't. Dumb example, but all day long we're struggling.
There's Satan right there, saying, you know, you're a witness.
Yeah.
When that person pulls into you next at the parking lot at work, oh, so you're a Christian, really?
Keep your hands up, most.
I always think,
you know,
it's funny because I always think about that as well, because things drive me crazy on the roads, and I think. Yeah. There's times when I want to do certain things. That's, you know, one of these days I might do something stupid, and I'll get a call from somebody that wants to do work, and I'll show up, and it'll be that person.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like God keeps me in check on those things, because it just you never know.
Every second counts.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, we're out of time. Let's jump to Ephesians 14. 6:14. Gee, I'm saying that. Okay, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Okay, you know we all know that he's using the illustration of a Roman soldier, and the various armor that he places upon himself. The first one is having girded your waist with truth. And I'm sure everybody knows the teaching here about, in Roman times, they wore loose clothing and, they had to gird themselves up whenever they were doing something, vigorous or, required them to, move quickly or fight or those kind of things. So Paul's using this as a comparison, and how we are to put on that girdle of faith, a girdle of truth. I'm sorry. How do you understand truth here?
I believe it's the gospel, and it is Jesus is the truth. Mm-hmm. So we are, in fact, just we are standing in Him. Mm-hmm. With the gospel, which not only protects us, but that's what we have to offer.
Yes.
So,
amen.
Exactly. We know the good news.
Well, you know, I just flashed in my head when after Jesus had spent 40 days in the wilderness and how Satan came to him and even tried to use scripture that was based on lies.
Yeah.
But Jesus told him the truth of what that scripture was talking right. about. And so, you know, you look at that, it's like Satan can come with these things that sound mm-hmm. like, okay, that could be good. But it's like only knowing the truth of what the scripture says
right.
that we can fight that with.
Right.
So.
Sure, yeah.
And I think of wrestling when I think of this, that you, mm-hmm. you have to yeah, really wrestle to get to the bottom of the truth, to what, mm-hmm. you know, you can't have like a little portion taken out of context.
Yeah.
And inserted in an area for somebody's own manipulation, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the full truth.
Yeah.
And that does take some wrestling sometimes, because it can't be just a little snippet.
Right.
That's good. Wrestling is trying to gain advantage over somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've got to gain advantage over right. Satan
right.
by using all our faculties, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not just our faculties.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's part of our warfare is right. to be diligent.
Yeah. Yeah. To know the truth. The truth sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I was also thinking, you know, as much as it is understanding the word and understanding who you are in Christ and all those things and combating the enemy, it's also a practical truth that we have to live by too, you know, whether it's just being honest, you know, or having integrity or being humble, you know, all those things that are sown in you as you spend time with the Lord and in his word. You know, so now you have a foundation to
right.
to fight, you know. But I like to look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, because I think this one truth is really the basis for our victory and for Satan's defeat. You know, and if we understand this, read it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Colossians 2:13. Somebody want to read that?
I'll read the next one.
2:13 through 15.
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross.
15:2.
And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made us public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Amen. So, we're talking about the girdle of truth. This is a truth that Jesus has already totally defeated Satan through the cross.
Yep.
Through his death on the cross, through his blood, and through his resurrection. And if you have that truth, the devil cannot win.
Yeah.
He can't win.
My Bible says it put them to open shame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, public spectacle.
Yeah.
I've heard a teaching about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
About how the Romans, they used to bring, patience. It made a public spectacle of the enemy, you know.
Mm. Oh, they do that, yeah.
Yeah.
They did that with Christ.
Yeah.
Mm.
Showing them that they've been defeated. So he has disarmed Satan's kingdom.
Mm.
And like you said, we triumph over them in it. For 2 Corinthians 2:14, did I... Let me read that real quick. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Is that right there? Yeah. 2:14.
But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay. So we share in Christ's triumph. We are partakers of his triumph. That's what we should believe, stand on.
Amen. And it just strikes me how the evilness of Satan, because he's defeated and he knows it, and he's still trying to bring as many souls down with him as he can.
Yep.
So he and a third of the angels who fell are so active, they just out of rage.
It's a real picture.
One that destroys.
Isn't it?
And just
senseless, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's so human.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it a human nature for people who are lost and misery loves company? How to say that? People, well, again, we know it's Satan active in people. We see the activity of Satan in people who are doing evil.
Well, he is the epitome of...
He is the epitome
of egotism.
Yeah.
And all his little followers, that's one of the biggest problems with people, is their ego.
Yeah.
Giving up. Yeah. Giving up of themselves to be humbled and become a slave to Christ.
Yeah. Well, they can't trust in anything else but their own, what they have.
Yeah.
You know. So. So good. So God always causes us to share in Christ's triumph. Over Satan's kingdom. So that's good news. So we need to stand on that truth. So that's just one of many truths, you know. But okay, so let's see if we can wind this up. Back to Ephesians 6. The second half of that verse 14 says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we understand that? What does the breastplate protect?
Heart.
Yeah, it's the blood.
All the vital organs.
Put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Just believe, receive, trust, walk, obey.
Just
be happy. Because you're triumphing.
Yes.
Even though you don't feel like it sometimes.
Exactly. But we have to guard our heart, you know.
Right.
The breastplate guards our heart, you know. Yeah. I put Proverbs 4:23 down there. We don't have to look at it, but it says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, the direction of your heart will determine really the course of your life, is what it's saying. So, protect it. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, this is an interesting contrast, it says, because it talks about the breastplate as well. It says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love.
Mm-hmm.
So, on one hand, you know, in Ephesians he's talking about the breastplate of righteousness, but in Thessalonians he says the breastplate of faith and love. So, when we kind of merge those two verses together, what do we see?
Corinthians 13.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yep.
See Jesus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our faith is in him and our love is in him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I see faith and righteousness begin to come together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Breastplate of faith, breastplate of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by our works anymore.
Right.
I looked at the verse in Colossians where it talks about the handwriting. The written code is canceled against us. It's not the law of Moses anymore. Now it's righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus. But, you know, we have to be convinced by the scriptures that we have become the righteousness of God. Because the enemy, again, he'll lie to you. Say, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? He just throws that guilt right back at you. you know.
Yeah, Michael is...
You don't fight it.
Michael's counseling this fellow who just doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. It's works, mm-hmm. works, works. And he's just, it's like,
I understand.
It's so difficult. You know, Michael comes home like, oh, you know.
I know. That's the stronghold.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. It's good. Okay. I would try to wind this up. The example I thought of was you know, when Jesus prayed for Peter.
Yeah.
He didn't pray that he wouldn't fail. He prayed that his faith would not fail him. Because when everything fell apart and he denied Jesus. But Peter's breastplate of faith and love is what Jesus really prayed for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his faith would not fail him. And that would ultimately keep him and restore him, you know. Mm-hmm. So okay.
What verse is that? Where is that found? Is it Luke
22?
Yeah,
I did Luke 22:31 through 32.
Okay.
All right, our last one for the day. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How do we understand that?
The verse that comes to me is that it says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news.
That's good. So shoes
provide the news.
Yeah, they provide mobility,
yep.
Readiness. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of, you know, sleeping with your boots on in the army, you know, yeah, ready, right. ready for ready the day of battle, that yep. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Bikes in your shoes to give you firmness.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
mm-hmm. can't get knocked over.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. You could sit here for like 4 hours.
I know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. This is like...
Yeah, exactly.
This is so beautiful.
Yeah. It's also preparation. You know, the word preparation is important, I think. Do we know the yes. scriptures? Are we able to communicate the gospel to people? I mean, I know as a coach, you know, I thought I understood basketball until I had to communicate it. And then I realized I don't know as much as I thought I did.
Yeah. This is the knowledge here is how you prepare for battle.
Right.
The knowledge of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And if our battle is against, is the battle for the mind
yeah.
of people, we have to be able to communicate it. And we have to be ready. When I did this, I thought of a situation that I frankly failed at. But it showed me that I wasn't prepared. And it was just something simple. Before church, Sunday morning, I went into across the street, and the place was empty, and there was a lady there behind the counter. I don't know if you know her. It's like an older lady there. And she was all by herself back there, and she was distraught. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, well, you know, we have to put our dog down. And she was really upset. And I didn't know what to say. And so I just kind of had this, you know.
You could have said, can I pray for you?
Exactly. Exactly. And as I, afterwards, I said, why didn't I just do that?
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared. I had my mind going 10 different directions.
Yeah,
and so I wasn't prepared. Because it says, it talks about the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Mm.
And I didn't, at that time, I didn't have the peace to give to her. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't walking in that. I was, you know, all over the place in my mind.
Yeah.
So it was a wake-up call to me. It's something as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote in Matthew 10, 12 through 13, you know, where it talks about, you know, how when we go to the household, you know, if you find that household worthy, then let your peace come upon it. Well, you can't do that if you don't have peace to give.
Have peace, yeah.
Right. So The prep, we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we know, we all here know how to receive that. We have to be in the Lord's presence. We have to be know His word. It has to be part of us, so it's just emanating out.
Right.
And so that's the picture I had, you know, of that. So, but we are to let our peace rest upon those, you know, as we come in contact with people, and be ready. Be ready.
Amen.
So, 10 o'clock, guys. Would somebody like to close us and pray for the service?
I'm looking at you.
Okay, Lord God, Jesus, we thank you for this, just this wonderful day, your day, the Lord's day, dear God, and for this opportunity around this table, Lord, that we can just learn of you, learn of your love and kindness for us, Lord, helping you, you help us prepare each day for our battles, that we will have to fight each one of those days, Lord. And I just thank you for the scriptures that give us this strength and your love for us, which gives us the ability to just go forward, Lord God, in your name. And so thank you for this morning. Thank you, bless Bill, for his presentation of all this information, Lord God. And we love you, and we ask for a blessing upon Pastor Mike this morning and our singing teams, that we will just be blessed for the next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.